Over the next few minutes, you're going to hear from a number of national ministry leaders regarding the loss of youth and our united effort to bridge the gap between high school and college and career ministries. When we lose our youth, we lose their future potential, and we squander the influence they should have had on the world around them. When we lose one, we lose a thousand.
You know, some people wonder if the loss of youth is a real issue on campus today, and I would just like to say yes, it definitely is.
One of our executives did a study recently, and he said out of the 200,000 students, AG students, that go off to the public college, 66% will leave the faith.
Part of the problem when they transition is anonymity always breeds sin.
Those first few days on campus is a big change for any young person.
A lot of paranoia about where are my classes, where am I going, who are these people, I don't know the campus.
And so when you don't know anybody and nobody's looking, that is a very vulnerable and dangerous spot to be.
You know, they suffer from loneliness, isolation, they suffer from lack of identity.
I wanted so badly to belong and to have a part of a group to belong to and be friends with.
In a lot of cases, students come as freshmen for the first time in their life. They are free in a sense. There's nobody looking over them. And what we see is many of them get involved in things that are dangerous.
I mean, I was just like sitting there thinking, wow, I'm in college now and I can go and do what I want.
Students who walk away from their faith in college, engage consequences that last the rest of their lifetime. I think about their Christian ethics that they lose, their alcoholism. 40% of the college students are binge drinkers.
I drank so much that I don't remember half of my experiences, in all honesty.
And one of the consequences of the lifestyle that these young people get involved in is it results in shame. See, when a young gal is abused, how her thought patterns go is, there must be something wrong with me.
Eventually, in all of this mess, I was sexually assaulted. And that throws you down really deep. And you go, God, what am I doing? How did I get in this situation? How did I put myself here?
There's a great risk involved if we don't address this issue.
All these different campus ministries coming together, we're doing everything we can to further the gospel in these campuses. And so if somebody could come along and help us engage these Christian students graduating from high school and empower them to reach their classmates, that's the kind of help we need. We need this bridge.
We are at the doorstep of a historic opportunity to affect the life trajectory of over 800,000 youth annually. Our youth, college, and military ministries are ready to work together to implement a national campaign to transition our youth. Help us make this historic opportunity a reality for our youth by investing in their future today, because when we lose one of our youth, we lose a thousand.
Right away, there's even a higher percentage of them that leave the church. In a recent article in a magazine called Comment, there was an article that said, leaving church in college. Why? Hearing myself. Something there?
Woo-hoo.
I get excited. No. This year, this is what the article said. This year, thousands of students will leave their high school youth groups to head to college. If the statistics are correct, most will never darken the door of a church once they set foot on campus. Only 20% of students who attend a church regularly in high school will do so in college. Only 10% of students who identify themselves as Christians will attend church regularly while at school. That just blows me away. I was a youth pastor for 12 years, and hundreds, if not thousands, of students that I had contact with over those years. To think that most of them, after they left the church, are no longer in a relationship with God, no longer attending church, no longer in the fellowship. And so something needs to be done. And we've realized that all across the board. And on the video there were directors from campus ministries all across the board. You saw Dennis Gaylor, our national director for Chi Alpha, and he mentioned that 66% of our students in Assemblies of God churches, you know, and we have great programs in our Assemblies of God churches, great children's ministries and youth groups and conventions and camp and things like that. And still only 66% of them are falling away. Now, with most of our students going to the secular college, not every one of our young people are going to go to a nice little comfortable Christian college, and most of them are going to go to the secular campus. That's why Chi Alpha and ministries like Chi Alpha are so important, that we are on the campus where your students are, where your kids, where your grandkids are going to be. And we're there to invite them into a fellowship. And in my experience now in campus ministry for, I got to count, 02, and this is 08, 06? All right. And then 2 years before that, part-time, as I was a youth pastor. So over 8 years of working with college students, I hear the same story every year. By the end of the year, the student will come to me or they'll testify in one of our meetings and say, thank God for Chi Alpha. If it wasn't for you, I don't know where I would be. Because they went away to college not even thinking about church, not even thinking about being a Christian, not thinking about getting involved in a Christian group, but because we were there, we were an influence on campus, they were able to be a part of our ministry. One just shared, there's a young lady in our group, Erica, who just before she came to Rowan last year, I guess she's a sophomore this year, so the year before that, she had just, she lost a friend, I believe, and kind of a tragic time in her life, and she came into a relationship with God, so she's brand new in her faith. And she came to Rowan and got involved, found us at a table or something like that we had on campus, got involved with our group. And it was just beautiful to see throughout the year the changes taking place in this young lady's life. As she got involved in one of our women's small groups and more involved, by second semester she was taking our leadership training class. Over the summer she went to a conference with us to further develop her leadership skills in Chi Alpha. And this year she's on our student leadership team. That's what happens through ministries like Chi Alpha. For those of you who aren't even familiar with it, I'll just give you a little background on what Chi Alpha is. Started in 1953, and now over 50-some years later, we're on over 250 campuses around the country. There are three ministries presently in New Jersey. I am at Rowan University in Glassboro. We have Chi Alpha at Rutgers, New Brunswick, and Montclair. And in our state, there are over 50 college campuses, though. And so please, please pray for us. Pray for this ministry. Pray for churches that are near these colleges that would gain a vision to reach out to the campus. Chi Alpha is a ministry of the Assemblies of God. We are a missions arm of the Assemblies of God. And my wife, Kathy, and I are nationally appointed missionaries with the Assemblies of God. Our mission field, specifically, Rowan University. Now, some campuses around the country, even our state, I believe Rutgers and Montclair, they will recognize you as a campus minister. And they'll even give you an ID that says, you know, campus minister with your picture, and, which gives you a right to be on campus. Rowan doesn't like that. So where we are, they just kind of ignore Christian ministries to an extent, which is all right. But the neat thing about Chi Alpha is that we are a registered student organization on campus, which gives the students the right to meet. They even give us a room that we can meet in, and they give us money every year as a student organization. So technically, I am a guest of the student organization at Rowan University, which gives me the right to be on campus, which is really cool. And even as a guest, I've had some opportunities and some inroads. I had the opportunity for a summer freshman orientation to be a workshop speaker, and I was able to present our ministry and share some tips, you know, with them. And so just I thank God for those open doors. Even though, you know, they don't recognize me as a minister on campus or whatever, they're still the open doors that God has provided. I'm grateful for that. At Rowan Chi Alpha, we have... Oh, and I didn't explain where Chi Alpha comes from. Anybody know what Chi Alpha means or where we got the name from? Want to share? All right, it is Greek. Okay, if you're familiar with the universities, the whole Greek system is really huge with sororities and fraternities, and so we kind of fit in there with that name a little bit. They do confuse us sometimes as a fraternity, and we want to make it very clear because the fraternities and sororities don't like people trying to act like them. So we try to emphasize the Christian fellowship of our name, but it does come from the Greek and Chi of Christ and the A. Ambassadors. So our name means Christ ambassadors. And that's what we like to think of ourselves as being on campus, that we are there representing Christ and inviting others into our fellowship. At Rowan, we have a large group meeting on Thursday nights. We have about upwards of 60 students involved in our ministry. And on Thursday night, we gather, we turn room 221 of the Student Center into a house of worship and a house of prayer. And it's great as we have a student-led worship team, much like we have had here this morning with some great upbeat music and the students leading that. I always share the word every Thursday night. We have a couple of prayer meetings that meet on campus. One of them, 7 a.m. on Wednesday mornings. And we actually have students that come to it. Some of them aren't going to bed till 6, you know, but they're coming out to prayer at 7, so we're grateful for that. And also, small group ministry is very big in what we do. This semester, I believe, we had 4 small groups, which are student-led. And these are student leaders that I have taken some time to train and to develop their leading skills and how to lead a small group. And they meet all semester in dorm rooms or in apartments. An exciting thing this semester, my wife, Kathy, for the first time was able to get involved in a couple of these women's groups. We have 3 young children, and they're now 9, 7, and 5. And so she has a pretty busy schedule at home. She also homeschools our children. But our children are finally at that point which frees Kathy up a little bit more, where she can be a bit more involved on campus. And it was really great to see just how the young women responded to Kathy being there and having somebody to really go to and to talk things out, to cry together, to laugh together, pray. And so we're grateful and seeing God do great things in our small group ministry. You know, not only, though, are we a community on the campus for the believer, but we are certainly there and we are evangelistic in our thinking and in what we do, because our desire is to share Christ's love with all those around us. And our group is made up of not all Christians either. For instance, there's a young lady, Laura is her name, came to me after a meeting one night and said, "Hey, Chris, you know, I don't profess to be a Christian. I don't really believe in everything you're talking about here tonight. But is it okay that I come out to your meetings?" Well, let me think about that. So, see, of course it's okay, and that's why we're there. And you know, today people believe or they want to belong before they believe. And they want to be a part of a community before they'll even listen to what you have to say. And so we are providing a community for people where they can feel comfortable, where they can come and feel free to ask the questions. And we don't, I don't mind if they disagree with me. That's okay. And I'm not going to go back in their face and say, you know what, you have to believe this. Because I think that's one of the reasons we've lost many of our young people from our churches. In fact, I was going to read some of this article, and I'll go ahead and read it here. So, from USA Today, another article, Reasons College Students Leave the Church. Let me read some of this to you. According to the Lifeway survey, only about half of respondents saw the church as caring. That's about half of them said that's why they left the church, because the church wasn't caring, or welcoming, or authentic. Almost all cited life change as part of their reasoning, like moving. 58% said that they were unhappy with a pastor. 52% had religious, political, or ethical reasons for quitting. Even political views. We try not to talk about politics too much in the church, and of course we can get in trouble for talking about politics if you endorse a what's that word I'm looking for? Candidate. Yeah, thanks. But you know, we need to have a little bit of room for people to have their views. I'm not sure. You're going to get mad at me here. I'm not sure if God is a Republican. You know, but. So this is just one area. Young people are concerned with the country they live in. They're concerned with world affairs. And if we don't give them room to express their feelings and to come to terms with what they believe for themselves, then we're losing them. So that is the article goes on. Those who quit attending church have a much harsher view of the people in the church than those who continue attending. Among the criticisms, people in church are judgmental, hypocritical, and insincere. And according to a book called Unchristian, even Christians in their 20s are significantly less likely to believe a person's faith in God is meant to be developed by involvement in the local church. So even Christians, those who profess to be Christians, don't really see the church as being important to the development of their faith. So we've got a big problem on our hands. You know, it's not unlikely that I'll talk to a student that's never stepped foot in a church before. We're really in a post-Christian society today. It's not common that you just grow up and go to that nice little white church on the corner and call yourself Christian. And so this, of course, makes evangelism, sharing the gospel, very important on our campuses. I believe we have a small window of time once a young person graduates high school, they go away to college, and they get involved. 17, 18 years old, I believe, is such a vulnerable time. There are so many life changes going on. You know, believe it or not, they are not fully developed. And even in their brain, okay, and they're still adolescents. And they're making adult decisions that are going to affect the rest of their lives. What's their major going to be? What group of people are they going to be involved with? And those things get set very early on in their college career, their first year. And if we don't reach a student with the gospel, it is much more difficult to reach them the second year, the third year, and follow. Because they get set in their ways. Well, that's all right, Chris. That's a great thing you're doing, right? But what's it have to do with me? You might be thinking, you know what? My kids are grown or already past college. I don't know any college students. We don't have any college students in our church. But I want to share with you this morning that the campus, the university, affects all of us. In some way or another, we are touched. In some way or another, we are connected with what's going on in our campuses today. With that article I just read, Why Students Are Leaving the Church, that should concern us all. Because we're all a part of why they're leaving. And so what does campus ministry have to do with all of us, or what does the campus have to do with me, you might say? Well, perhaps we have to change a little bit of our thinking. maybe be concerned a little bit more when our high school graduate goes off to school, and you know, maybe be there a little bit more for them, pray for them, reach out to a student, have them over to your home. You know, we open up our house, you know, officially. You know, we always have the students over, but once a month we have a dinner at our home, and I tell the students, just come on over after church. You know, I'm going to be sitting in the chair watching football. You can come and join me. You can bring your books to study. You can bring a game. Just come and be with us. And after we've done that for so long, just to see the students sitting on the floor playing with my kids, hearing conversations going on in the other room, and then having them say, you know, this has been great being here. You know, and you can do that as well, and reach out, not be scared of the differences and how they look or how they act. You know, so all of this campus ministry has something to do with all of us, and we can all make a difference. Also, it affects all of our lives, because what is happening on the college campus today is the norm in our society tomorrow. The philosophies being learned, the lessons being taught, are going to be in our communities tomorrow. The students today are going to be your neighbor in a couple years. They're going to be your co-worker. There's a good chance that they're even going to be your boss at work. They're going to be our policemen, our lawyers, our teachers, our doctors. And so what happens as a student while they're a student greatly influences our communities tomorrow. International ministry is another huge thing that Chi Alpha is involved with. There's a student from Korea involved in our ministry this semester, Eun Jae. And the first time he came to our house, it was great. He brought us a couple gifts, and he said, this is the first American home that I've ever been in. That was so cool to me. It's like, God, great. Sit down and watch football. This is great. And, you know, we have such an opportunity, because most of foreign countries' leaders, presidents, cabinets, dictators, whatever, are educated in the United States. They're coming to us. The world is coming to our doorstep, and if we can reach them with the gospel, we can change the world. To touch a student is to touch the world. Ultimately, campus ministry has something to do with all of us, because it's about reaching the lost. Luke 19:10 says, "And I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those like him who are lost." And I want you to just think about that word lost for a moment, not the TV show. If you have a mind like mine, yours is already gone. Okay? But what does it mean to be lost? Maybe you remember when you were a little kid and you got lost in the store. Or if you don't have GPS now, you know, maybe driving down the road, you've experienced being lost. Think this morning that people all around us in our community are lost. And if you look up this word in the dictionary, it'll say something like this: having gone astray, missed the way, bewildered, being that which someone has failed to win, destroyed, ruined, distraught, hopeless, and desperate. And that's right from the regular old dictionary. But if you spiritualize that and realize the lostness of the world around us, it should truly break our hearts. Mark 6:34, I want to share one more passage with you. Mark 6:34. "A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things." He had compassion on them. I pray every day that God, please give me compassion. There are some days I'll be walking on the campus and I'll be irritated at how people look, at how people are acting, and I don't think that that's what God wants for us. He wants us to have a heart of compassion and to look at them with compassion. In this scripture here in Mark 6:34, the disciples just got back from a little ministry tour. They're tired. And Jesus said, "Come on, guys, along with me. Let's get in the boat. Let's go to a quiet place and get some rest." But as the boat was landing on the other shore, people saw where that boat was going. They began to run along the shoreline to greet that boat as they were getting off the boat there. What was Jesus' response Whew, this ain't a quiet place, guys. Let's find another one. You know, back in the boat, try someplace else. Was he irritated? Ah, these people, they're so needy. You know, give us, we're tired, okay, folks, we're tired. We need a break. The scripture says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Man, isn't it so easy when we're tired just to shut off the world? You know, look at the caller ID. Oh, that's going to take too long to talk to that person. So you let it go, or let it go to voicemail. Whatever the situation. You know, I find it difficult sometimes to give my own children, whom I adore, the time that they need, even, you know, when I'm tired. You know, I just want to sit back, you know, just, all right, give me my space. How much more difficult can it be for us to the lost and the needy all around us? And so I believe that, and this word compassion here, we could overlook it real easy. But if you would study this word compassion, it means a deep, heartfelt, heart-wrenching passion. You know, in other words, Jesus' whole body and spirit ached when he saw the people. They were lost. And so he took the time to teach them. You know, I had an... You know, as I said, sometimes on the campus, depending on my mood, you know, I can get irritated sometimes. Most of the time, I thank God that my heart does break. And I remember one time in particular during a freshman orientation, all these young new students were there, many of them with their parents. And I remember just locking eyes kind of with this one young lady who was walking with her parents. And my heart broke. And it was like that Jesus getting off the boat moment as he looked at the crowd. And I thought, God, if we do not reach her with the gospel, if there's any hint of innocence left in that young lady, it's going to be snatched from her when she gets on this campus. And I thought of my three young daughters. My oldest is just 9 now. But one day, I'm sure, you know, if they go to college, when they walk on that campus, I pray that there's a Chi Alpha there to meet my daughters on that campus. And I realize, you know what, that is someone's daughter. More than that, it's God's creation, whom he loves dearly, whose heart breaks because he's not in a relationship with them. You know, often we have two responses that I've kind of already alluded to the people around us, to our community, to the world. One is that we do get maybe irritated or angered at the person, you know, because of the way they look, because of what they're doing. And you know, sometimes that keeps us or prevents us from reaching out to them and ministering to them. These students today, especially, I recognize that every year it gets greater, the distance between me and them, in age and in looks and in how we act. And so it's difficult sometimes to look beyond those things and look deeper into the heart and look through the eyes of Jesus with compassion. And so sometimes we have that response. And other times, it might be a little bit more nonchalant. And we think, you know, they're just kids. They're going to go through that wild phase, you know. Or we just might choose to ignore it. You know what? They're not my kids. That's all I got to say. They're not my kids. Or we might not know any students or whatever. We don't see it. Maybe we just close ourselves off in our own little Christian bubble. And we go to church and we go to Christian this and Christian that. And we have our Christian friends over, which are all good things. But how much interaction do we have with the world? Sometimes it's easier to ignore or hunker down and not really care about the needs around us in the world. And I believe that neither of those responses are the response that Jesus or God wants for us. To ignore them, to be afraid of them, or to get angry with them. I believe we should have a righteous anger that wells up inside us when we see sin. When we see the recklessness of people's lives. When we see the consequences of what people are doing. I think that righteous anger should well up inside of us to the point that we do something about it. And that something about it isn't getting mad at that person, but it's reaching out to them in compassion. And I don't think that we should ignore or brush off that we're losing upwards of 80% of our young people who are already Christians. I don't think that we should ignore that 44% of college students admit to binge drinking. And that's only those who admit to it and binge drinking. Now, outside of our Christian students, I would say it's upward of 95% or more who are drinking excessively and getting drunk. It just seems like college drinking, they're hand in hand. Across the board, college presidents agree that the number one problem on our campuses is drinking, excessive drinking. And this is just one of the issues I point out to. There are many issues facing our campus today, but I want to point out this one because it's a huge issue. 95% of violent crime on our campuses is alcohol related. 90% of rape that happens on our campuses involves alcohol by the victim or the assailant. 40% of all college academic problems due to alcohol. 28% of college dropouts because of alcohol. Today they learn, tomorrow they leave. I find it hard to believe that upon graduation day, we're going to wake up and say, I guess I got to grow up now, when they're already an alcoholic, when they're already addicted to many things, when their lives have already been broken, like the young lady. That wasn't, there was a pretty cheesy reenactment in that video, but the girl that broke down and started to cry, that was not a reenactment, that was her true testimony. And she's just won thousands and thousands of lives who they're being broken because of sin. See, they may look different than you and me. They may act differently, talk differently. And those things will often prevent us from reaching out. But I just want to say to you, what does campus ministry have to do with you and with me and with us and the church? It has a whole lot to do. We can do so much as we work together in teaching and training our young people, by being involved with them after they go away to college, and to take time. Often it's about relationship, and as I shared before, it's about belonging before belief. And we really need to, people in our community, give them a place where they can belong. God, let us see people through the eyes of Jesus with compassion. You know, in spite of all these negative statistics and the negativity of you know, the campus, it really is, it's a dark place spiritually. A lot of other religions and philosophies begging for our young people's attention. In spite of all this, thank God for Chi Alpha. Thank God for Chi Alpha, that we can make a difference. I just want to share with you, as I close, just a couple stories of what God is doing in ministries, the Chi Alpha ministries around the country. I'll just share a few of them, then I'll close with a short little video. In Murray State University in Kentucky, attendance in their first 4 weeks was 150 students, with 35 students coming to Christ for the first time. That's this past semester. In Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Illinois, they have 200 students that came out to a welcome barbecue that they have. They have 25 students in a Korean language Bible study. They have 50 students involved in a Chinese language Bible study. In University of Virginia, Charlottesville, 350 students in their weekly Chi Alpha meeting. 275 of those students are in their small group discipleship meetings. That's incredible. And then Sam Houston University in Huntsville, Texas, almost 600 students attend their Chi Alpha. So many students that they now meet three different nights in three different locations to meet these students. That's awesome what God is doing. And here at Rowan, I'm grateful that we have the opportunity presently, as I mentioned in the beginning, to reach out to about 60 students on a weekly basis. And they say a picture's worth, that's not the right DVD. The other DVD. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So instead of me saying a few more 1,000 words, I'll let a few pictures do the talking for me. It changed lives right up the road at Rowan University.
The harvest of wheat metaphor, you stockpile all the harvest and then it rots and it's no good. What good is that? In the same way, we spend so much time trying to bring people into the church again, our youth pastor 10 years, bringing kids into the youth group, teaching and preaching and praying and seeing kids excited about the Lord, only to have them fall away. Only to have them not serve God. Well, I don't know about you, but I think as a church, we need to be pointing to, we're going to do something to stop this, isn't it?
Amen.
We're going to do something to stop our young people from falling away from the Lord. We have to. We can't invest money on saving people from the gates of hell, only to let them go back a few years later. Statistics are high. It's like he quoted 80, I used to quote 90%. Most by far kids when they graduate from high school graduate from their faith. It just goes hand in hand. We need, I think, to rise up and say, we're going to do what we can do. Stop it. And say, no more. I think of our young people, even Dylan is in the back. He just graduated, right, Dylan? You're graduating this year. He's like, not the good stuff, he's an image of graduating this group, the class of 2008, we need to pray for them. We need to do all these things. Pastor Chris, he needs help. He honestly needs help. He still has another $1,000 a month he needs to raise to be able to continue doing what he's doing at Bell University. So today I'm going to ask you, first of all, to pray. To keep him in prayer. Is that too much? Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's too hard for him. But we're going to pray. Also, I'm going to ask you, you know we support missionaries every month. Everything we give towards missions is set aside for missions. It doesn't go anywhere else in the market or anywhere. We support Tim and Beth Pike every month. We support Dave and Julie Goldsmith every month. We give to them. In my heart, I think we need to support the work of our missionaries. Shayna still goes. I think she's playing pretty cat or something. Outside, Shayna still goes to Relic. Anybody else? You went to Relic? Your sister goes to Relic? But that's still our school in this area. We need to do what we can to take a claim. I'm going to ask you to do two things today. Well, first of all, I don't know if you can do that. A bunch of things. Not too many. Fred, go to Fred. Next thing, we're going to take a love off from the blessing chair. You can do the same thing. Help take care of it. The other thing is, if you haven't already committed to giving the monthly commission, that would really help if we could get an idea of what you're willing to help give a month when you are missing welcome for a blessing chair. I'm going to ask you to mark on your communication card if you have or if you're already doing an offer. Grab the one in front of you. Right. Now, I'm not saying we're going to raise $1,000 a month. I hope somebody has it, but I don't know. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you want to do something to give away, if you can commit to $5 a month, and if five of us commit to $5 a month, that's $25 a month right there. To help you. So we're a small church, I understand. But we'll give, and we can give, in prayer. God to multiply and bring your glory. So, are you willing to quarter again? Is it worth it to this generation? When I shared missions pledges, I said, how about we go out to eat for one day a week, you just don't get the soda. That's for God. It's not like 2 hours for a glass of soda anymore. Man, I get shot for a 6 liters. Can't get the cola though, man. Black cherry is delicious. You know what I'm saying? A little bit. But we'll come together as a church with prayer and pray that Christ will receive all that he needs. While you're pulling out that card as well, if you have a testimony or a prayer request, God, make sure you mark that. We're going to pray tonight. Listen, nothing's too hard for God. We're going to pray, Chris, and we'll pray for you for your more anointing. I know God is anointing you. My wife says, I want to go to top cancer ministry. She just said that a minute ago. Listen, we're going to pray for God to continue to anoint you and meet every need that you have. And I honestly mean this. We're going to support you, and we will pray for you as a church for sure every month. We do that every month because we're not just going to give money. We're going to give our heart and our prayer. We really want to see God work in another way. Yes, now, if you already do that and you need that, yeah, don't write that down because I'll just add that on top. And I'll have numbers that don't mean anything. Just if you haven't already made a pledge and you're thinking, I want to give whatever, that'll just help us decide what we're going to do. Hallelujah. So, I should be prepared to do that.
opportunity for you as well. Hey, Joe, you want to come up and Bob is going to come up and help us pray? Hallelujah. These are our steering committee members. It's our precursor to our deacons for sure. So we're going to pray. We'll pray for all of you as well. Let's gather around and we'll pray for Chris. God will meet all of the needs. God will take care of any wisdom as he goes on campus last chapter 2. That the most hardened kid there, God will soften his heart and make Chris to be intentional. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done this day. Lord, we open up thanking you for what you've done. I thank you for the photographs, Lord, of the young people who have been changed. Lord, right now we pray as I anoint the oil, God, a symbol of your Holy Spirit, Lord, please just pray that your favor would continue to be upon Chris. Lord, I know you've anointed him. I know that he's full of your Spirit when you minister. Lord, just continue to touch him, we pray, Jesus. Meet every need he has, Lord. I pray that he would see, God, you in an even greater way with answering prayers and things. Lord, the desires of his heart, God, meet them. The desires of his wife's heart, of his children's heart, God, meet them. Hallelujah. Take care of them, Lord, in any bit of finances that they need, Lord. Give them favor as you go on campus with the students, Lord, with the faculty, with the administration, God. Just do a new work in their lives. Lord, and as we come together, not as the church, but as one of many churches around our state and even our nation that's lifting up the ministry of Chi Alpha. God, I pray you would make 2008 a year of amazing miracles, Lord, on the campus, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, take this offering we're about to receive. Use it for your glory, God. Meet every need that we have, we pray, Lord. Help us to participate in what we're doing and be faithful in giving to you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good today? Amen. We've been having just some fantastic times of prayer here lately. Again, we're going to get together tonight and we're going to pray and seek the Lord. I know he's working. Keep Denise in your prayers. She's in the hospital. I'll be able to see her, but you know, she just really needs prayer. And I told her we're behind her. I said, your family, Denise. Your family. We're there. Which you encourage and during the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank you, Father, for the great service. Bless the day, Lord. Bless the fellowship in the back. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Use us to change the world this week. And all God's people say,
Amen.
God bless you today.